I knew he was going to go according to age. You know, I've got to figure out the next one. So I'm going to apologize right now. Jeff, I do appreciate your bringing some people here. Otherwise, we might be talking to each other. You know, I grew up on the mission field. Some of you might know that, in Korea. And then Karen and I went back to Korea for a couple of years on business. And we lived in Korea in the 1980s. It was a fascinating time for us. I even have some stories about our pastor, who was born about 2 months before we arrived. So if you want to see me later, I can share some of those with you. We were in the community, the relatively small community of Americans. Now, there was a large contingent of U.S. military there, but the business community was relatively small. And as a result, most of us were involved with the American Chamber of Commerce, and we got to meet with the U.S. ambassador to the Republic of Korea on several occasions. He was a very interesting guy. His name was Richard Walker. He was born in Pennsylvania, but because he had spent most of his career in South Carolina, he acquired the name Dixie. And Dixie, he was a soldier. He had served in the World War II and then again with distinction in the Korean War. He was a scholar. He had graduated from Yale, and then he was on the faculty at Yale. He founded the School of International Studies at the University of South Carolina. He wrote a number of books, and he even learned Mandarin Chinese on his own, such that he was able to serve as General MacArthur's personal interpreter during World War II. So he was a soldier, he was a scholar, he was also a statesman. He was the U.S. ambassador to Korea. He had been appointed by Ronald Reagan in 1981, and he served until 1986, a very long term for an ambassador anywhere to serve 5 years. We were invited to the embassy on occasion. We heard him speak on several occasions. We were also invited to his home a couple of times. And when he was speaking, I heard him say on more than one occasion, but one time in particular, he made the statement, "My life is not my own. I am always on display as the face of America." And you think about that. Here's a guy who had served as a soldier, as a scholar, as a statesman, but he recognized his life was not his own. He was the face of America in front of all of the Republic of Korea. That is the life of an ambassador. Now, Paul says on two occasions that he was an ambassador. As a matter of fact, he represented that all Christians were ambassadors. So I'm going to use two texts tonight very briefly to kind of talk about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And then in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about prayer, Paul says in verse 19 and 20, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul asks the Ephesians to pray for him, that whenever he spoke, he might be able to speak boldly, because he was an ambassador of the gospel. And in fact, he said he was an ambassador in chains. He was in prison when he wrote this. Remarkable to think about that. He also says to the Corinthians that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us to the rest of the world. As a result, Paul just implored the Corinthians that they be reconciled to God. And that is part of the mission of an ambassador. When you think about Paul's being ambassador for Christ and ambassador for the gospel, in Romans he goes on to say that I might not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of Christ. It is the good news that doesn't just provide a method of salvation, the method of salvation, the way to God the Father, but it also gives us day to day the strength we need for sanctification. So Paul, in the power of Christ, carrying the message of the gospel, was an ambassador. And an ambassador is just that. He represents someone else to carry a message to those who need to hear the message. Paul, an ambassador, would carry a message that expressed the views of the person or the entity that sent them. An ambassador would represent their interests and really their authority, their power in communicating that message to a foreign place. So twice Paul refers to himself as an ambassador for Christ of the gospel. After his Damascus experience, Paul spent his life traveling to places around the world carrying that message. He acknowledges a number of times, interesting, the same thing that Dixie Walker said, that his life was not his own. As a matter of fact, he says in Philippians, to live is Christ. The same really should be said of all of us. So, what does an ambassador do? Ambassador first, kind of three things to think about. First, an ambassador has a purpose. He is on a mission. He has an assignment. And Paul's mission was to encourage those who were saved and those who were lost. Particularly, he preached the gospel to show those who were separated from God how to be reconciled to God. Secondly, an ambassador has a power behind him. He represents the power, kind of the muscle who sends him out. He represents an authority. Paul's authority was none other than God himself. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, Paul's desire was to represent the Lord through and in the power of the gospel. Thirdly, an ambassador delivers a proclamation. He has a message. He makes an announcement given by that authority. And Paul's simple message was one born out of conflict, that is, the message of peace that we find in the gospel. So Paul uses this image. He doesn't draw attention to himself, but to the appeal that he is commissioned to give. What was the important thing about his message? And to whom was he delivering that message? And by what power was he delivering that message? So, as we think about the threshold of this new year, we each can renew our own focus on what our purpose is and what message we are commissioned to give and by what authority we can carry that message. We are citizens, if we have committed our lives to Christ, of heaven. Christians are united with Christ, so our citizenship is in heaven. That is our place, not this world. You know the words of the old gospel song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." Even in Hebrews 11, we hear about men and women of faith who agreed that they were not citizens of this place. In matter of fact, they were strangers and pilgrims here on earth. But they desired a better country, a heavenly country. So what is your purpose? We are sent on a mission to represent God. In John 17, Jesus even prayed, "As thou hast sent me into this world, so I send them." Talking about his disciples, his followers, those who are Christians. Jesus prayed those words because we have a mission. God calls all those who follow him to be on this mission. That means we represent God in a world that doesn't know him. And we have a message to give to those who need to hear it. So you do carry a message from God. God has given this task of sharing the good news of the gospel, both of salvation and sanctification, to those around us. there are many who do not have a relationship with God, and many whose relationship may be broken or not full. And to rebuild that broken relationship, God gives us a message of love to share with the world around us. And that message is found back in our text, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, God no longer counts your sins against you. Instead, you have God's love and power and presence to share that message with a lost world. So, we are called to be ambassadors to this world. And in this new year, I trust that each of us will take that commission seriously, and we will represent the Lord in a way that He would expect us to.